State Representative Julie Alexander joins us. As we reported earlier, Republicans who won their elections in states where Donald Trump was beaten are signing on to a brief that says their state's elections were a fraud, and Julie has done that. So our election was fraudulent, Julie?
Like, I don't think you're going to hear me use that statement, fraudulent. I know I am very concerned with the numerous reports of illegal activities and deviation from the election's clear process. We have state law in place that says this is the election process. And as I shared last week on the radio, I have been sitting in on the House and the Senate Oversight Committee meetings. I have been hearing from tens of thousands of not only Michigan individuals, but people from around the country. And because of this lack of clarity for me on what happened, I believe this is the best way to go about bringing light to this process and this election.
Well, you're not only saying that, you're saying the Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and I think the other state is Arizona. How do you have facts on that, or that those were fraud?
Well, I've been listening to the people. I've been listening to the story. And all I know is there's enough information that the general election, in my opinion, is clearly in dispute. And this simply allows us to work through the process and get to the bottom of that. You know, everyone's vote matters. Election integrity is crucial to our democracy, and we're just looking for that clarity. I've had a handful of people reach out to me last night, this morning, with messages, and I tell them, I am not making a bold statement to say whether Vice President Biden or President Trump won this election. That's not what I'm saying. I am not saying I'm taking electoral votes away. All I am saying, it's as simple as this. The key issue is election integrity. And this is the process. This is a way to bring light to the process.
Well, so far, 58 lawsuits have been thrown out, Julie.
Yeah, and I would say on those suits that have been thrown out, we have to look at why they were thrown out. My understanding, as many of them, they claim they were filed too late. And I've heard of some other cases that the claim then is made they filed in the wrong law, in the wrong courts. So, you know, Greg, what I also know, two other things that I think are important here. I'm just looking for information. The more I have become educated over the last few weeks, I've learned several things. I have learned that, to the best of my knowledge, no illegal activities, no issues that have been brought up to law enforcement, to our prosecutor in our Jackson area. I've talked to the people in our Jackson community that have integrity and followed the state laws through the election process. So I'm very pleased to announce and report that I've been doing the due diligence. I know that one candidate who ran for state house and lost asked for a recount, because again, the only individual that can ask for that recount is a candidate who did not prevail. And all they found was a discrepancy of 5 votes. So the person that we all assumed won the election in the beginning, who happens to be a Democrat, will remain and keep her seat. And that is what we want. We want clarity each step of the way. But if we don't have that clarity, if we walk away with questions that are not answered, then we are not doing what I know. When I raised my right hand and took an oath to uphold the Michigan and the U.S. Constitution, that is ultimately my goal. I'm not asking for an end result of a goal. It's the process. It's the opportunity to, again, bring light to the process and find out, here are my concerns. the chain of custody in ballot, the ballot security, signature verification. That's both when someone was sending in their absentee ballot request, and then on the other side when the ballot came back, and residency requirements. I'm hearing too many stories, too many pieces that just don't make sense. Now, I'm not hearing them in my Jackson community. I'm very proud to say that.
But we have to look at the state level. So your election was fine?
To the best of my knowledge, I have not been presented any information in which illegal activities or events that did not follow the state election laws occurred in Jackson. That's all I have to say.
Why aren't you suing Florida? Why aren't you suing Texas?
So my understanding is that over the years, we all know about Bush v. Gore and the debacle. I'll use your word, the debacle that happened in Florida many, many years ago. Their election process, their state election process, has morphed into something that's better and more accurate. It's impressive what they've done in their state. And that's what I want Michigan to do, is have the assurance that everyone that goes in and votes, everyone that's our military and mails their vote in, that when their vote is transferred over, that there's a Republican and a Democrat sitting at the table overseeing that process. All I'm asking for is that the laws we have in our state be upheld, and I believe some other states are doing it better than we are, and I look forward to the day when we can have more complete faith and trust in our system. That's all I'm asking for.
What, Julie, laws were not upheld here in Michigan?
Well, we're going to need specific cases, and that will play out in the courts. Again, the information brought to me, chain of custody. We know the Michigan laws have everything set up in place. So we know who's overseeing the ballots at what point in time. And I see breaks in that chain of custody. Again, the ballot security issues, the signature verifications, some residency requirements. So those are some of the issues that have been brought to me. And as someone who took an oath, I'm asking for time to do the appropriate investigation, and I will gladly accept the results of whatever that turns out to be. But we must go through this process.
Again, no Michigan court was willing to take that up.
We're still working through the process. This is taking time. This is too big of an issue to not continue to make sure that we have done everything we can to ensure the integrity of this election, because everyone's vote matters. So that's what we've been working on significantly. In addition, earlier in the week, there were several legislators that made a statement and simply made, which I was wanted to do as well, which simply made this request. Let's subpoena the individuals that have information. Let's bring them in and ask them questions. In addition, let's make sure we're holding all of the election materials. So those were two requests that were made in a statement earlier this week. If we want this process to go through in a fair and transparent manner, we need to be allowed to ask those questions. And although the legislature has subpoena power for documents from other elected officials, we did not have that subpoena power to bring the people in to ask the questions. So that is another ask. We are very hopeful that we will return to Lansing next week and have the opportunity to have session and vote on that resolution in order to have the opportunity to have those questions asked so that our questions can simply be answered. So that is another piece. I also introduced legislation a resolution yesterday when I was in Lansing. Remember, Greg, a while back we talked about the whistleblowers. If you're whistleblower law, right now in Michigan, if you are a state employee and you want to talk to your legislator, you have protection if you're talking to them about an illegal, something you want to share that is of illegal, someone was behaving in an illegal way, breaking some law. You can talk to your legislator then. You can also talk to the legislator if you want to talk about money being spent fraudulently. But you're not allowed just to go to your legislator and offer insight. You have something you want to tell. And, you know, our correction officers, our frontline workers there in our prisons, and again, they would be in violation of Michigan law, and they were not covered under the Whistleblowers Act. So we asked for that to be in the, it's referred to the boilerplate, which is the state budget, and we put that in, and the governor took it out. And then we introduced legislation, and it was unanimously passed in the House. And so to move it forward to give that protection, again, to state employees that want to simply have conversations and offer insight to their legislators. And once we went through that process, the governor vetoed it. So I want to make sure people have the right to have their voices heard. So I introduced a resolution yesterday, and we'll see if that will be taken up. Again, a lot of questions as to when we're going to be done this year. Hopefully we'll be back in Lansing next week during the Work of the People. But in the meantime, I am here taking phone calls, answering constituents' concerns, and working on some legislation that we're hoping to move through the process in the next week or so.
Yeah, 3,000 people, well, 3,200 people died of COVID yesterday. Is that?
COVID is very serious, and I'm grateful for our frontline workers that are out there taking care of ill people.
Can people get some relief here from lawmakers? Can they get together and get something done to help the businesses and the communities?
Well, our businesses are really hurting. They are really, really hurting. And again, remember when COVID started, and I was a strong advocate for updating to current CISA standards. And what that means is there are some occupations that can work safely. If you're in an environment, because we haven't proven that COVID is more prevalent in restaurants than other businesses, if you're in an environment where you can work safely and you as a member of the public choose to go into that environment, how and why is it the government's role to stop you? Again, I believe individuals should make choices based on conversations they're having with their healthcare providers. They know their health risks. They know their age. They know their medical issues. So I value an individual's right to make those choices, and using the science, the data, the metrics. When will it be okay? What are the numbers we need to get to in order to allow people to maintain their livelihoods?
Hopefully find out. I don't know. I don't know what the numbers are.
You know, we're in unprecedented times right now, Greg, and I know it's the depression, the fear that's out there. It really scares me. It really bothers me. But I know that we are going to get through this. But it's a challenge. When I have people still calling and they've received no help receiving their unemployment benefits, and I still can't get through anywhere, we're doing our best to do all we can. Again, anyone having any issues, please feel free to reach out to my office. I mentioned last week, if you don't hear back from us right away, please respond again. We are getting thousands and thousands of emails every day. So we're doing our best to make sure that the residents of the 64th district are getting our number one priority and our attention. But it's been challenging with all of the emails coming in. But we're here to serve. We will do all we can do to help you. And as we navigate these challenging times, you know, we here in the Jackson community, we've got each other's back, and we keep going to these local businesses and getting takeout, right? And doing all we can to support. If we can, you know, tip a little bit extra to help that single mom who can't work right now mm-hmm. because the restaurant's closed down. We just got to be there and help each other. I'm grateful for United Way, 211, all they do. Again, individuals that are in need, services can be provided through 211. Give them a call. We've got a great community who knows how to collaborate, and that's what we need to do during these challenging times.
When is the next session, Julie?
I am hoping next week. I mean, normally we would go in on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but, you know, I'm ready. As soon as they call us back in, I will be there.
Okay, and you can call Julie at this number.
Absolutely. So the office number is 517-373-1795. The office email is julialexander@house.mi.gov. And we're here to help.
Thanks, Julie. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Greg. And you take care of yourself, too.
Take care. Julie Alexander.